friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers. I am here with
Jasmine Tavern.
Hell yeah. A new homie, friend of the podcast network or whatever.
Will we say new?
No, not really new. Nah, definitely a fucking lover of some good hardcore, grindcore, metal.
Oh God, don't tell anyone that. I have a reputation of it.
Oh shit.
God, they're all supposed to think I really love Taylor Swift.
We got a Christian in the house. She loves Taylor Swift. We did have an in-depth conversation about Martina McBride.
I thought it was Miranda Lambert.
It was Miranda Lambert. It was totally Miranda Lambert,
it's
not Martina McBride.
Completely different person.
Of course, but I was trying to uphold your Christian like thing here.
That's fair.
I was trying to help.
I just kind of fucked myself on that one. That, there you go.
Yeah. So much for that. Jeez, you know, it's like, hey, it's the big difference between, oh yeah, she hangs out with wholesome Christian people, you know, not like Ron Jeremy or anybody. Like,
well, no, I do hang out with wholesome Christian people because they're constantly trying to save me.
Yeah, right?
They're trying to fix me. Yeah, no. Oh, it's a
Jesus
lot.
Saves, pop cans.
Like, well, no, there was like this whole like thing where they like tied me to the ground and then they like settled a bunch of stuff in Latin and like drew a, you know, cross on my forehead and blood. I think that it was like they were trying to get a demon out of me. And then, you know, just come to find out I'm a veteran, so it's just like you can't get that out.
No, you can't. That sounds like when people try to put a demon in you, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, my early 20s.
Oh, shit. I had nights like that. Well, anyways, so I... All right,
just
shipmate.
My skin, just rub my arm.
You were prior Navy, like me. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your rate?
I was an interior communications electrician, third class.
Right on.
So basically, I didn't mean shit to anybody, and I did a lot of work for not a lot of reward, and because I was, like, semi-okay looking, and I didn't like my chief, I didn't really go far.
Yeah. Well, where were you? Are you Yokosuka, right?
I was stationed in Yokosuka for 5 years, three of them spent on board the USS George Washington.
Oh, CVN cool.
CVN-783.
That was actually, the funny thing is, my cousin, Tony, he was on the George Washington in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, so way back in the day, and then that was the first, like... first Navy welding job I've ever heard of, and I ended up, long story short, ended up being a steel worker, and my rate was, you know, SW. I wanted to be an HT. I actually wanted to be an
God,
HT.
Why, though? Because
it's welding.
I dated an HT.
Yeah, he's a smart man.
Hey, Eric Smith, you're a piece of shit.
Eric Smith, you fucked up, man. This girl's beautiful. What'd you do that for?
Oh, God. It was a whole 3-year thing. Oh my Jesus Christ. But I was young and I was in love and he was an HT too and we were gonna do things. We were gonna go to Ibiza.
That's one thing too that's kind of funny about the dynamics, like when you're young, especially in the military, and you see these people, like 2 weeks seems like 500 years when you first come in, because you see somebody, oh dude, they were here for 2 weeks before me in A school, so they're like salty dogs.
Oh my God, I know. Isn't that the thing? Like holy shit. You have that person that comes on board, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, I was on a ship for 3 months before this. And you're like, oh, you're so impressive. I need to know everything that you're doing.
Oh, my God. Where did you get this awesome and character and this charisma from? So, like, what was Yokosuka like? When was that like for you?
Okay, so I got there July 1st of 2012, and it was hot as balls and humid as shit.
Now, it's 105 degrees in Los Angeles. Is it comparative to what we got right now?
No, because this is a dry heat, man. This is like dry, like our humor and our souls. Out there, it's a tropical climate. Like you're just like you're sweating while it's raining while you're crying. I wasn't crying. I love my life and everything about it. The Navy didn't ever make me cry, I promise. But I got there and, you know, it was right before 4th of July. And so get off the bus. And no one even fucking knew that I was checking in that day. They had fucking idea. Somehow I got there. My girlfriend who had from home, she was stationed out there as a corpsman. She's the only reason I knew where to go or how to get anywhere, got onto the base. Like, she came and got me from Narita and took me to the base. And went and checked me in. And they were like, oh, fuck. Man, we don't even know who you are. And I'm like, well, here are my orders.
Oh, shit.
You dumbass. Like...
This is on a carrier, right?
Yeah, this was for the carrier. This was they called it like Patriot's Landing at the time.
Jesus.
It was fucking. And then so of course I get there and they're like, "All right, you're going on the barge." And I was like, "No, no, I'll just stay at my friend's room tonight." And they're like, "No, you're going to the barge." And I'm like, "That doesn't sound fun. I don't want to do it. Like, can I just stay in the barracks?" And they were like, "No, get the fuck to the who do you think you are?" At the time I was an ICFN.
So right, right.
They were just, no, I wasn't even an ICFN. I think it was like an ICFR.
So basically.
E2. I was nothing.
E2, yeah.
I was literally dog shit. I was the white dog shit, right?
Yeah.
The one that no one wants to touch. And so I get there, and they're having their 4th of July celebration on July 1st. It was the weirdest thing. It was the most backwards thing, which as you've
I'm sure it was mandatory fun.
No, I totally was. Yeah. There was a huge, there was like a friends and family fest. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking, but you know as well as I do.
Well, you guys had the Tiger Cruise type things or whatever.
God, we had one of those.
Yeah.
It was great. All the bitches on the ship like flew off because they wanted to make space for other people. So like, I got to be without these shitty people for a whole week. It was awesome. They were like, oh, I'll volunteer. I'm like, yes, fuck, get the fuck off. Go away.
I want my space, motherfucker.
Oh my God. Women are horrible in the military. I'm pretty sure I was an asshole to a lot of people, but Jesus Christ.
Why is that? See, I wasn't one. I wasn't a woman.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, God.
I didn't. I actually just grew this way.
Oh.
I just have these. I have like C cups now because I'm retired and fat.
Well, I was going to ask you about those. Like, I thought those were like implants or something. Those are impressive.
Hey.
Like, I'm jealous. You can fill out a fucking tank top better than I can. Anyways, so you live with like 80 women, right? At any fucking given time. I know you've lived with a bunch of dudes, but you guys just kind of all slap your dicks on walls and call it a day.
Well, that, and then the thing is too, is like we don't live in such close quarters like people do on ships. You know True. What I mean? So like everything, granted, we live maybe in OMB getting from one city to the next. Like I had a steel shop I ran in Fallujah or something mm-hmm. like that, or I had a project that'd be going down in Okinawa. So we lived in barracks, and then the longest that goes, I'd hit up my buddy like Jimmy Redinger, freaking Dougie Newman, and be like, "Hey, bro, can I ride with your guys' convoy to fucking El Asad so I can pick some grinding Dougie wheels?" Newman. You know, and then that's that kind of shit, you know. But other than that, I wouldn't have mm-hmm. to deal with it. So, but what was it like being a female living on like a fucking carrier, man?
Oh my God, if you like, I am a huge advocate for feminism. I love women. I love empowering women.
Me too.
Right? But living in close quarters with all of these women from all different ages, all different walks of life, all different fucking ranks, from like E1 all the way up to E6, like I wanted to shoot myself in the head so many times a fucking day. Right. We had these two E6s who were, they were in charge of the birthing area, and they had all these crazy rules, and they would make us come up to birthing so we could have these like kumbaya meetings about how we need to keep better, care of the birthing and da 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 da. And, our whole birthing was lights out all the time because we had people on both day and night shift. So it was, to be polite, the only time the lights would come on was during cleaning stations or like, fucking general quarters. So I ended up, like, my last couple months on the ship, I was on this rack near the front, and it was right in front of the little, like, commune area where everyone would sit down and hang out. And I swear to fucking God, at 1 o'clock in the morning or something stupid late, right, I hear a fucking blow dryer. Mind you, we have a bathroom in our birthing. It's mandatory for females to have a bathroom in their birthing or a head. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's all right. I never called it a head. I was a CB. I don't know what a fucking bulkhead is either. We just call it drywall.
Well, see, but you know what it is. See, you just did the thing. See, now you fucking lied.
I did the thing.
You fucking lied. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, who the fuck? And I thought it was the girl that like lived underneath me because that bitch. So I stand up and I look out, and it's my fucking first classes, and they're blow drying each other's hair at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, hey. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry, is this loud?
Like what the fuck?
Like, no fucking shit. There's a bathroom. Oh, well, I just really wanted to sit down. Okay, get a fucking chair.
Yeah.
Like, but that's always like the minor of it. Like, there was always cat fights. There was one girl that like we were friends and then we were not friends. And then it was like this battle royale. What did she do? She like sabotaged my relationship, so I took fucking itching powder and put it in all of her fucking clothes. She got me put under investigation because she said that I was having a relationship with my divo.
Oh shit!
So I took all of her uniforms and I threw all of them except for the one she was wearing off the ship in the middle of the night. Yeah, that escalated quickly.
We
almost killed each other. Like, I'm not a physical person. I don't like getting into fights. But like, I was like trying to get through. Like, the birthings are like half a foot. You gotta shimmy.
Like, I actually took a tour of like the Lincoln. I took a tour of the Washington.
So
and I'm like, I've just taken tours, and I'm like, how the fuck do you manage that? I can imagine the smell gets pretty bad too. Like,
there was a girl when I first got on the ship. She was an engineer living in her birthing. She never washed her clothes, and I never saw her shower, and it was awful. I wanted to just die. I wanted to kill myself. They will leave their sanitary items on top, their used sanitary items on top of the toilet roll dispenser. working as an engineer, we have to go into the we have to go up on the bulkheads and the little angle irons and stuff, right? And so like you'll like grab an angle iron just to like stabilize yourself, and then you grab a fucking dildo and you're like, why the fuck is this here? And you're like sitting there and it's stuck in your hand and you're like waving it around and it's fucking like what is it, the American Challenge fucking size shit, right? And you're like, why is it still in my hand? And it's like a car wreck and you just can't let go, and like all the guys in your berth in your division are like standing outside the door like, oh, what do we do? Hey, I see three. What's going on? I'm like, I've got a fucking dick in my hand.
This thing looks like it could have been used in a hate crime. What the fuck is
that? Oh, my God. No, it was awful. There was one girl. I cannot remember. I do remember her name. Airman Lucero. Airman Lucero, if you ever hear this, you are a disgusting fucking human being.
Not the steelworker Lucero. She's awesome. No, she's good people.
Airman Lucero. Airman Lucero.
Okay.
I don't remember what
I was in Okinawa with Lucero. This is a whole nother person. Great.
She looked like Gargamel.
Well, this one was beautiful.
She fucking looked like Gargamel, I swear to God. Like, so we were in our security detail training, blah, blah, blah. And like, it was the weirdest thing. She would like keep food in her pockets of her NWUs. And so we called them our little snack pack because it was like a Mary Poppins fucking field.
NWUs, that's the blue.
The blue digis. So if you fall into the water, no one sees you.
Nobody sees you. Yeah, yeah. It makes so much sense to go through all these uniforms.
I love all of our uniforms.
They should fucking make people on ships, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but wear orange like fucking like the same jumpsuit
orange
you wear.
Look good on me.
No, but well, maybe not you, but you're not in the Navy anymore, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but if it was then, like if you go back into time and like change that, then I'm gonna have all these pictures in orange and my fucking skin tone is not there.
Well, you can just look like a big fan for Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, but I'm not. It hasn't even gone out yet.
That's true. Good point. Like, all right,
come on. So Lucero, right? We'll skip all the fucking snack pack shit. So long story short, she fucking.
No. We're on a podcast. Make the long story long.
Okay, well, if I must. So this bitch keeps like everything. The whole galley is in her pockets, right? I am not fucking kidding you. She would like finish a bag of chips and throw it away, and then we would be in whatever, like we were doing our fucking training or whatever, and then like. Another bag of chips would appear, and then like a bag of cookies, and it was the weirdest fucking, it was like a Mary Poppins bag of just shit, and she was so fucking, God, I whine a lot, and I'm annoying as shit, but this woman took the fucking cake on that one. So one day, she lost the key to the entire cabinet that had everyone's files in it, right? So like, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, like a DORs or something.
Yeah, everybody's
their division records, basically.
Not even the division records. This was just security detail for people who were TAD.
Oh, shit.
So like everyone's security files, like all everything.
Right.
So if we can't just get a file cabinet because we're in the middle of the ocean. So we would have had to break it open. And then everyone's shit would just be laying out, right? Like
a side note, I've done so much breaking and entering for Navy SEALs. I forget combinations and shit all the time. This is like, I'm like, oh, this is par for the course for you guys. Fuck yeah, go for it.
It's fine, whatever. They look good in their uniforms.
Grab a grinding wheel and fucking go to town. Is that what you end up having to do on the thing?
No, we fucking had to like trace the stupid bitch's steps. And since I was one of like, I think I was one of like three girls in the entire unit that was TAD to this class, we had to go to her birthing and search her rack, right? And she's like, it's not my fault. This isn't my fault. And she's like, you guys are just fucking bitches. You guys are cons. And we're like, okay, dude, just fucking move. Just go. Get the fuck out of here. And so we get to her birthing and, you know, it's like every birthing's different. So like birthings on our ship were like, they were divided by department, right? Unless you were one of those weirdos who like didn't have a rack in your birthing. So then you'd be in someone else's. So, like, air department birthing, you walk in, it's really, like, dingy and, like, dark, and everyone's staring at you, and they're all in their fucking, you know, flight deck gear, and they smell like fucking JP5, and they're like, what's up? What do you need? And I was like, dude, am I, like, in the fucking Outsiders or something? Like, what's going on here? I was like, hey, we need to check Lucero's rack. They were like, oh, don't fucking go near it, man.
Don't go by Pony Boy Lucero's.
Right. And no, I'm not kidding you. They were like,
hey, Cherry Valance, what the fuck are you doing up here?
You're like, you don't want to fucking go there, man. And I'm like, why? And they were like, dude, you don't want to touch it. You should go get gloves.
Oh, this is the stinky girl.
So we go get gloves, you know, because I'm definitely taking that recommendation. And we get there. And it fucking smells. It smells so bad. And, you know, I'm sorry, Mom, if you overhear this. I've smelled a lot of ball sacks in my life. But it smelled worse than any ball sack that I have ever smelled.
And mine's hanging out right now.
Yeah, like, I know. I mean, and it smells like a fucking fresh spring.
Oh.
You know. Do you use, like, the pH balance stuff?
Well, we're talking. Let's go back to your thing.
So we get there, and it just smells to high heaven, and we're like, oh, God. So we pull the pillow up, and I'm not even kidding you, just chip bags and chip bags and chip bags. And I'm like, okay, this I kind of figured. This isn't it's causing these smells, though. So we pull the like, mattress back, and oh, God, I want to vomit just thinking about it. There was used tampons stuffed between the mattress and the end of the rack. Like,
this is the first podcast that people actually, A, threw up halfway through doing, and B, everybody stopped listening when you said use tampons. So everybody else that has enough balls to fucking still keep on going, let me know. Inbox me that you're still listening to this. I will fucking mail you one sticker.
Oh my God.
This is awesome.
It was
inbox
no, it
me
was
your
not.
Address. I'm going to send you a sticker for having enough balls to hang out with us the rest of this podcast.
Oh my God, I want to die. This is like ingrained into my memory. And so, like, and I'm not kidding, like, we found like dirty underwear. Like, we had to open the rack and get into her clothes.
See, that's the thing, chicks, man. And this
we're disgusting creatures.
Females, as you say in the military, females. That's what, like, your plumbing's a lot different. You know, like, dudes, we get away with a lot because we don't, you know, our folds don't, you know. So we can go, like, 2, 3, 4 weeks without, you know, showering and doing stuff like that.
Well, as long as no one's getting near you.
As long as you're hitting the fucking baby wipes, you know what I'm saying? But, Jesus, man.
No, she wasn't even doing baby wipe showers. Like, she legit just was that, like, she was Gargamel. She was the human form of Gargamel. And I, like, I'll, like... That's all her rack was just food, nasty shit, dirty clothes, and that was it. No key. We found the key later. I don't remember where. But she later threw herself down a ladder well trying to break something so that she could get off deployment. And she only sprained it. And then everyone made fun of her for another 6 months.
It sounds like she wouldn't have trouble asking people for help on this job. Like, I really need to fall down the ladder well. Anybody want to help out? Sure, no problem.
Oh, God.
Let's do this.
She was an interesting human. Yeah, can we stop talking about that one, though?
Yeah, let's do it. Because, like, here, let's talk about something cool. Because, like, it was funny because you brought up the whole, like, stealing shit from the galley.
Yeah.
When I was in Iraq, I lived on Camp Knot. One of the deployments, I lived on Camp Knot, and which was named after a buddy of mine. And rest in peace, Eric. But we would walk down to the galley, and I had a steel shop. So in my steel shop, we'd have a lot of the fucking Marines and a lot of the Army guys coming in and out. And my steel shop, I swear to God, it felt like a barbershop for metal. You know what I mean? So we had all these guys coming in, coming out. Because, like, these other camps, like, anybody that knew about us, because we were, like, we're not top secret, but people didn't know about us. We were hiding in plain sight. They're like, okay, these guys do cool shit. They didn't really know that if you asked us for help, we would help you out anytime. So I'd have a lot of,
we're
like...
so cool and mysterious.
Yeah. You know, so we'd have Marines and hanging out and stuff like that. So what I would do is we'd go to the galley, or DFAC, whatever you want to call it, and we'd load up all our cargo pockets with all those little fucking, those Haji fucking Dr. Peppers and you know, all the drinks that we could bring them back in. So we'd have, like, every time we got back, we had, like, 14 to 20, each of us had 14 to 20 pops. You know, we were, like, stocking up our refrigerator so that we could just drink them and just hang out. And it was basically, like, and then just hanging out, shooting the shit. I mean, we had a whole freezer full or fridge full of near beers. We'd pretend like we were getting drunk because that's all you could really do. Good times.
It's okay. We used to just fill Listerine bottles with vodka.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. That's, we'd have people get mailed, stuff like that. Some people got in trouble.
Dude,
like,
we had two pilots one time. I think it was my last deployment. Get woken up in the middle of the night for a health and comfort, right? Like, the entire ship's getting a health and comfort.
Oh, shit.
They were the worst. We had those a lot, though. It was,
really?
It was the George Washington. Like, we had a lot of problems.
So the G-Dub has health and comfort. Health and comfort is when people go through all your
shit, right?
They just,
so,
like, open up all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we get woken up middle of the night. This Master Chief, she was the sweetest lady ever. She's in, hi, honey. I'm so sorry I had to wake you. I need to go through your things, honey. Oh, darling, can I just... And we're like, yeah, sure. Well,
you know,
damn.
I think I was in a leadership class, and she was one of the instructors. I think I know exactly who
short
you're talking
black
about.
Woman?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. Master Chief Weaver.
There you go.
Yeah, she was mama. She lived in my birthing for a while, actually. It was kind of cool. She's very down to earth. But so we're like, why the hell are we doing a health and comfort at like 2 a.m? You know, like, everyone's pissed. And she's like, well, I just can't tell you that, da 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 da. And we come to find out that these, you know, security personnel were like walking the P-ways while they were doing their rounds, and they smelled smoke. in a stateroom. And so they...
stateroom is...
is for the officers. So the officers, like...
like a chief's mess for the chiefs. Yep. Wardrooms, like a stateroom type thing, right?
So that's for, like, the super important people. Because, mind you, you know, chiefs, khakis in general, khakis, like chiefs and officers, they don't have to go through the scanner. They don't really have to get a security check coming on board. None of their stuff is searched when they go on deployment. Captain Fenton told us that it was because they had earned his respect and his trust by achieving such a high status, even though, like, khakis are also ensigns and, like, 21-year-old douchebags, right? No offense, Captain Fenton. I still love you.
Hey, no offense, Captain Fentanyl. He told me a lot of crazy shit, too.
Greg! So, you know, come to find out, you know, they get into the stateroom, and these two pilots, who were, like, maybe 6 hours away from flight quarters, which means they're going to go fly a plane, these billion-dollar jets, right? They're not only smoking cigars in their stateroom, they're hammered.
Nice.
And they just brought, they didn't even hide it. They just brought bottles on board with them, right? Now, mind you, the thing with that was, is the G-Dub in 2008 suffered a really bad fire on its way to Yokosuka due to improperly stored hazmat and cigarettes. So they were, someone was smoking in an area where there was also improperly stored hazmat, and then they were, like, throwing their cigarette butts down the vent.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and so the hazmat caught on fire. And so the ship had never actually, they didn't do what the smart thing would do and, like, get a different ship to take over until we could repair the ship in its entirety. So I'm not kidding you, working on the electronics, like, you'd go through, and there would shit that was still damaged from the fire because they just... they were like, all right, well, we got the fire out. You guys can get to Yokosuka. We'll fix it in Yokosuka.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is, here's the problem with that is I see it all the time in military. Mm-hmm. That you have these fucking unrealistic goals. Like, there's a guy who sits down, like, when you set a goal, you also set a deadline. That's what makes your goal effective. And you have these people that set unrealistic deadlines because they have no clue. They don't consult the people. Like, they need to go down to the deck plate and say, hey, fucking Johnny Nonrate. Or somebody that was a Johnny Nonrate. So if there's a chief that was a Johnny Nonrate on fucking the GW, that, you know, chief that was a foreign Johnny Nonrate would be like, yo, dog, this is how it's going to take us, sir. You know what I mean? And this is what it's going to be like, you know? And then actually consult people that know what the fuck's going on.
No. That be. They're just like, I think that this is what this is. So it's usually
somebody that's never, they just read a book once and like, no, I know the capabilities of World War II. I mean, they could do it on the Wasp. Mm-hmm. Why can't they do it on this?
Well, the USS Kitty Hawk. Oh, my God, that ship. So, thankfully, I was after the Kitty Hawk's time. The G-Dub wasn't much better, but it was just a little bit better. The Kitty Hawk had, like, full-on gangs and prostitution rings.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the G-Dub only had prostitution rings. I actually found out some of my coworkers were involved in that one.
I was in Yokosuka.
You were in a prostitution ring?
Well, kind of. But that's a whole other story. Look, you know what? $20 is $20, and I got to pay rent. But I was in Yokosuka when the shitty kitty was in town. You know, and that was I lived in Natsugi, but I go down to Yokosuka to see that awesome HT shop that's right there by the water.
God, you and HTs, dude.
Well,
like...
that's my job. I'm a land HT, so I need their welding.
You're all in love.
What's that?
You're all in love.
Sure.
Good. Keep going. Tell me more about the kitty.
No, I was just saying that was it. That's pretty much it.
Oh, you didn't get any hookers from the kitty?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I actually found out we were on deployment 1 year, and one of my coworkers is like, hey, so-and-so is going to be hanging out with us in port. And I'm like, I'm not hanging out with you guys in port. Why do you need to know? He goes, well, if you hear anything, I just need you to, like, cover. And I'm like, the fuck are you guys doing? He's like, well... you know, our other coworker, he's, like, really lonely. And mind you, we find out that this guy's gay, which is no big fucking deal. But, like, I guess the guys didn't know. So they were trying to hook him up with a girl because they just thought he was lonely.
Oh, he's just, okay.
Yeah, he was newer. I love him to death. Gil, if you're out there, I love you. So my buddy tells me, like, oh, hey, Gil needs to hang out with a girl. So we're going to take so-and-so and, you know, give her $200. And I'm like, you're going to pay her to hang out with him? He goes, well...
gotta see a man about a tooth.
We're gonna pay her to get him to hang out. I'm like, oh my God, you stupid motherfucker, you know, that's prostitution, right? He's like, oh, no, not if you don't call it that. Like, it's not, you know, she knows what she's doing. And then, like, come to find out, they actually had, like, four girls working for them.
It's not a cockroach. It's a water bug.
Right? They legit had four. These assholes. And if they ever hear this, they know exactly who they are. You were pimps. You're a pimp. Jesus. But, you know, they didn't make too much money off of it because they picked girls that didn't actually want to have sex with anybody.
Yeah, there you go. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was a housing. There's a prostitution ring in housing once.
Oh, there usually is. Or like those weird orgies when everyone goes out to deployment, like the spouses have multiple orgies. You never heard of that?
No.
Oh God, my old buddy Grant,
get mailed on that mailing list?
You just type in MWR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a fully funded thing. I obviously this isn't for all spouses or anything, but I guess like there's circumstances where spouses have orgies when their spouses are gone. Like the male spouses and the female spouses all get together and they just do a lot of sex.
Well, hey, man, got to do what you got to do, I guess.
You know.
Yeah, thank God I never had to deal with that. So, man, that sounds like pretty interesting time frame there on the G-dub, man.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird. Like, one of my
Was there any cool things that happened? I mean, any good stuff?
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, I came on board as an E2 or E3, and I got to meet some amazing people. I joined the military kind of as like a last whim type of thing. I was like really into partying in college, and I just like screwed up my life. So when I joined, it was kind of like, well, I guess this will make me not fat and give me a goal or something. And it did give me so much more than that. I ended up taking a fitness class on my first deployment with Master Chief Simpson. And Kai was like one of the coolest people. He's like the black Michelin man, right? Like he's just, no, not the black Michelin man. Why did I think Michelin man? He wasn't that big. He was like Mr. Clean, right?
Okay.
Or like Terry Crews. He was all straight right up Terry Crews. Personality and everything. He was just so kind and zany and like humble. And I ended up like going to his class a few times. And then the next thing I know, I was helping to motivate for the class, right? And so we had like 100 people in the hangar bay. At any given time, everyone loved this dude. And I met Master Chief Farney through him, and then Chief Smith, and then Chief Jones, well, now Chief Jones. When I met him, he was MM1. But I got to meet these really, 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 really amazing men in my life. And they weren't like, and when I say amazing men, I don't mean like, hey, you know, if you do me a favor, I'll give you an EP. I mean like genuine men who wanted to make sure that I, as a junior sailor, was taken care of. Yeah. Max and Irma?
No. It's a good restaurant back in Ohio, but go ahead.
Oh, God, I hate Ohio. So Max and then Calvin, they both had taken over the class at one point or another. When Calvin took over the class, though, he did it as kind of like the silent partner. He wanted me to run the class, but he was there if I had a problem like getting shit moved around, right? And he would be like the chief to like come back me up.
Right.
And those guys really saved me in my entire career. Like with every shitty thing that ever happened on deployment and with every time I thought I wasn't good enough or I wasn't smart enough or I wasn't fucking strong enough, they were the best things to ever happen to me. Master Chief Farney is like a second father to me. I would go to his stateroom and just like cry and bitch and moan. And he really became a mentor to me. I would not be who I am or where I am in the civilian sector if it hadn't been for the guidance of those guys. And then a few other, my female chiefs were just, fuck, they were amazing. Senior Chief Jackson, she was this bad, well, she is this badass older woman. She was an ET.
Nice.
So she was an electronics technician. She didn't give a shit. She gave no fucks. She, like, if you didn't like her because she was a woman, she didn't care. If you called her a dyke because she had short hair, she didn't care. She was smarter than you. She was better than you. And she was going to do way more with her life than you. And she never once made me feel inferior. God, I love her. I love her so much.
I always felt those were the best. The ones that just remembered where they came from. Mm-hmm. They know exactly where they are. They know exactly how they got there.
I had a chief, Brian. Oh, Brian.
O'Brien?
O'Brien. No. So when he was a first class, he was fucking awful. He was horrible, and I hate him. He's one of the very few people in my Navy career that I can honestly tell you that I hate with a passion. He told myself and another coworker when we were at like general quarters or something doing some routine stuff. We got talking about college. My one coworker had his bachelor's degree in political science and wanted to go back and get his master's after he was done. He had used the Navy for the experience and then also to serve his country, but also to pay back his student loans.
Of course, yeah.
Right? Very smart man. Like, he's one of the very few people in my life that I can honestly say, like, I wish that I had been a better person to or for, because I feel right. like I would have gotten so much more from him if I would have just, like, stopped being such a stuck-up bitch. But we were talking about school, and I wanted to go back to school and figure out what I wanted to do with life, and he wanted to go and get another degree. And this shithead straight up looked us both in the face and was like, oh, well, you know, if you ever leave the military to go to school, what did he fucking say? It was so rude. He was like, you know, you're just not going to make it. Like, you can't make it in the real world. You're an idiot if you leave the military. This is coming from the guy who failed out of college and joined the Navy because it was his only resort and just happened to be just good enough of a douche to get there.
Yeah, that's what sucks. I mean, if you're going to move on, good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I wish you were here. Carl's good dude. He's my co-pilot on this show. He did fucking 1 year. Or not 1 year.
Nope.
He did one, one year.
How'd you do
that? He did 1 year.
Tell me
he did one enlistment and then, you know, one and done and fucking, you know. And that's why I think the cool dynamic between working with him is, you know, me, I'm a lifer. Dude did one fucking tour, moved on.
Yeah.
And it's like you. Like, you did one tour or one to, you know, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And you moved on. Well, mm-hmm. fucking God bless you. You did more than what most people ever do.
I would have stayed forever if I hadn't been a single mom.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to say that it's easy, but navying is easy. It's a game, really.
The hardest thing, two things you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't show up on lists. And show up on time.
Suit up
That's
and show
it.
Up.
Don't fucking be on a list.
Yeah.
Any list and show up on time.
Suit up, show up, look good.
That's it.
Like, that was one of the things about being an engineer. They're like, oh, you gotta look good at all times. And you're like, I literally just came out of a bilge. Like, that's why my, and they're like, oh, why doesn't your uniform look fucking perfect? And you're like, what? What do you mean? It's the middle of the Asian Pacific in the middle of July. I've sweat through every goddamn bra and t-shirt that I own. And this is really, you want me to look like inspection ready coming out of this build?
I remember, like, my first deployment, mm-hmm. we had some MSs, that's what they were called back then,
yeah.
the CSs.
Yeah.
We had these MSs that were, you know, this is, one of them was his first, like, deployment with the CBs, but he did prior shit in the fleet and blah, blah, blah. And I just tied a fuck ton of rebar. So I'm, like, just all covered in rust, basically. Because, you know, Okinawa, it doesn't stop raining.
No.
It's rainy season. It just comes down, and it comes down sideways. So I'm just, like, covered in all this other shit. And I washed my hands, but I still can't get it because it's kind of stained with rust. And the guy's like, you can't eat in here. And then I'm like, what, dude? For real? And I looked over at one of my chiefs. So it was like... like Marty Yingling and a couple other fucking people sitting over, a couple of the chiefs.
Yeah.
And they're like, because usually the chiefs hang out in their mess, but we were doing concrete. So, like, they'll come and hang out with us. You know what I'm saying? When we do concrete. And they just looked over like, what? No. No, and he's going to eat. You know, and I was like, oh, I mean, that was the first time I felt, like, fucking validated. Like, I'm here. I'm fucking, these guys like what I do. Fuck yeah.
I'm going to eat.
Goddamn right. You fucking can't tell me I can't eat.
Oh, God, I wish they would have told me I couldn't eat. I would have brought the... Well, I didn't want to eat what they were serving.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
That's why you make friends, though. Like, on deployment, we were in charge of, like, the phone lines.
Yeah, go for it. No.
Okay. So we were in charge of the phone lines. We could give people outside lines. We're not supposed to, but you totally could. So, you know, for the small price of letting me use the bakery at night or the small price of letting me come into the galley after hours and cook my own food.
Because I don't understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of other people don't. When you say phone lines, like phone lines right to your fucking rack or?
No. Like, so from your like office space or whatever, from your shop, we could set like the phones that were in the shops, they were all digital. So we could give them an outside line so that you could dial like *665 and then dial your home phone number and call mom.
No, sure.
Obviously everything had to be up and working, which... 9 times out of 10, it isn't because it's, you know, the military.
Right.
Lowest bidder. Right. But that's kind of how we did our trade work. It's like prison almost, you know? Like, hey, we were also in charge of the TVs. Like, if you pissed me off, I'd cut the cable to your TV and then I'd tell you that we didn't have the repair parts for it. Also, I'm too tired to do it and you pissed me off, so I'm just going to go away now. We, like, the Pulper was, like, where they took all the trash and the garbage and stuff, and it was only open during, like, certain hours, and you had to be really, really quick with it, and their phone was always ringing, right? So if you pissed us off, we'd, you know, redirect one of the Pulper lines to your line so your phone would just be ringing off the hook. And then when I went to go fix it, I'd go take a nap for, like, 45 minutes and then come back down to my shop, change the number back to it normal, and be like, oh, hey, look, it's fixed.
Oh, man.
Don't be a fucking dick. So, yeah, you know, I dated an HT, so I know all the engineers. You pissed me off. Your hot water and your birthing was turned off. Now everyone hates you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's done to one, it's done to all.
Oh, dude. I mean, especially if you're dating somebody on deployment, that's like that. Don't piss them off, because you just pissed everybody that they know off.
I know, that was the worst.
It's like, it's almost like a mafia mentality. It's
my God, it totally is. Like, it really is kind of like prison. Like, hey, bro, what are you going to do for me? I'll do this for you.
I'll shank you.
Exactly.
Shank you in the shower.
Try.
No, like the fucking being friends with people in the galley was really beneficial when I was on restriction. See, like,
Of course you were on restriction. Oh, of course.
So, like, this is my third or second deployment to Okinawa.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 4. I fucked up. I did some dumb shit. I admit it. Whatever. And but the thing is, I was still teaching classes, mm-hmm. and I was still helping people out with their warfare. I didn't act like one of those little fucking bitches that was like, fuck everybody.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I knew God, exactly. I knew so many of those.
Yeah. It's like, dude, if you did some fucked up shit, own it. Be like, look, I fucked up. I'm trying to let me earn my penance.
Michael Ensley.
I earned my fucking red badge of courage here. Let me fucking do my shit.
I've never heard that.
Oh man, that's been my favorite. That's my favorite terminology for it. So, I still taught, and I had this one CS or MS at the time. Mm-hmm. I had this one cook who was trying to get a CB combat warfare, which just started becoming a big thing.
Yeah,
you know, it was like, and now it's everybody. You got to have it. But back then, it was becoming a bigger thing. Like the it being voluntary was on its way out the door. I think it was probably actually on its way out the door, already gone at this point. But anyways, I just helped the dude out, and I just felt like I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do shit because somebody's going to be my friend. No, just do it because it's the fucking right thing to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the benefit is this guy is actually going to be your friend, and it ended up paying off because I didn't even think about it, because when I'm sitting on restriction, this cat's fucking slimy boxes, not onesie twosies, boxes of Baby Ruths.
Oh,
and
my,
like,
God.
All this other shit. You know what I mean?
That
and I'm like,
explains the C cup.
And I'm like, yeah, you got it. So no. Back then I was pretty fucking ripped, actually. Yeah. This is post retirement shit going on here.
Ooh, is this a hot flash or
nothing?
What's
that's
going
a
on
hot
here?
Flash, babe. Nah, I just took off my shirt and showed her the real C cups. But no, but for real, man, that was like the coolest thing. And then, like, I'd get boxes of Gatorades and stuff like that, the pallets of Gatorades and stuff like that.
Oh,
and they just they would do, because what he would do is the restricted barracks was like right by the chief's mess, so the wardroom was way up the fucking hill.
Mm-hmm.
The chief's mess wasn't too far from where the restricted were, so when they dropped stuff off over there, they just brought some stuff over to me, and I just like. Okay, cool.
Dude,
and then,
like, the dawn.
And then, well, the cool thing was I figured the best place to hide things is in plain sight, right?
Okay.
So what I did was I took these things that I'm probably not supposed to have anyway. I just put them on the floor in my room on restriction. So when they came through to do the inspection, they were right there.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, so like, I figured if I tried to hide them, because, like, people would hide shit and, like, what do you call it? Those things in the drop ceilings?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's where I should put them. I was thinking that at first, because I did do that with some beers. And I'm like, and then I just, like, fucking put them in the bathroom. Yeah, like, when I finished them, I just left them in the bathroom. But this time I was just like, oh, fuck. No, fuck it. So I just had these Gatorades just sitting on the floor. So every time the OOD, every day when the OOD came walking through, I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going, B1? What's up, dude? You know, and I'd make fun of them because that's just what I do. You know, not in a dick way, but just in a fun way. Like, oh, OOD, how much time you got left? I was like, nah, not soon enough, blah, blah, blah. I was like, my Gatorade, fucking, you know what I mean? I was just like, and that was my thing.
Oh, my God.
And I just had some.
You know, now I could see that, though, because if I was doing room checks and I walked into that and the dude was just like, hey, what's up? You want a Baby Ruth? I'd be like, fuck,
Well, the Baby Ruths weren't there anymore. Those were fucking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the Gatorades are like
I would just
Gatorade?
Be so taken aback, just like, fuck it, man, whatever.
Well, I'd be usually being like, hey, dude, you want a Heineken? You know what I'm saying? But at this point, because that was my beer at that time, you know, but because it wasn't as skunky then. But anyways, yeah, that would have been like, hey, you want a Gatorade? And yeah, it was fucking fun.
Oh, my God. That is genius.
Now, like, another time, too, my boy, it was me, Heath Dinius, Scott Anderson, and there was a bunch of other people. We were on fucking the same restriction thing.
Yeah.
And in our orders, in written in the orders, it says that we can only smoke at the top 15 minutes of every hour. Or no, not 15. Last 5 minutes of every hour.
Okay.
So we had this thing synchronized to the fucking second. You know, we're like, no matter what, we're in the middle of extra duty, just shoveling fucking shit and putting sandbags, mm-hmm. you know. And it was just like, at one time, we just all knew what it was. We just dropped. No, not even sat down. Just dropped everything down and just stood just right there and started smoking cigarettes, dude. It was like, I'm yo, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, we're fucking, we're smoking cigarettes, man. It's our break time.
It's our last 5 minutes of the hour.
Well, you can't do that. I was like, well, the skipper says, like, I'm your skipper. I was like, you're not my skipper, dude. Like, the skipper's our skipper. Skipper Worshing's our skipper, dude.
That skipper's your skipper.
He's your boss. Your boss, my boss, our boss is the same.
We're all the same boss.
Yeah. And then, like, ever since then, still to this day, like, I'll get a phone call just out of nowhere. I'm your skipper.
Oh, my God.
I'm your skipper. So, like, me and Scott Anderson and Heath Dinius still will fucking call each other out of nowhere. I'm your skipper.
That's so discomforting.
I'm your skipper. Now, Anderson and I stole Humvees and drove around in fucking 400 Liggett, drunk as fuck. I can't wait to have that cat on here and we'll talk about that shit. Man.
Honestly, it's been a weird, like, it's been a year. Actually, I forgot. It's my 1 year anniversary.
Hey, man.
Oh, I just thought of that.
1 year as a civilian? Like,
1 year as a civilian.
Now, all right. So, was this the year you signed your DD-214 or the day?
Yeah. So last year I separated out of San Diego. My official last day in the Navy was July 6th of last year. So, this is my 1 year anniversary of being a real civilian.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man.
Oh, God, I hate it. Put me back. Put me back in, coach.
Go.
No, God, I'm 80% disabled. I'm not doing that shit.
80%. So that's like fucking 17 a month, huh? Something like that.
16, it's money. 16 something.
Well, yeah, you got a kiddo. So that's what I was thinking.
It pays the mortgage.
Now, all right. So that, I'm glad you said that because, like, that brings me to this question is like when you separated, because you're fairly new to the civilian world, like what all steps did you have to do to get to your disability rating?
So I actually had a lot of help. One of my really good friends in Japan, she worked for the VA when I was overseas. And so although I couldn't file my disability stuff, the girls in the office were so gosh darn helpful. So we did everything there. Like, I had everything set up in eBenefits ready to click send.
For eBenefits, that's the online stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand it yet.
You know? It's all online now. It's weird. I don't even understand it really. But so it's like eBenefits.gov, and it has like all your files, all your records. Everything is digital now. And so, like, I did my entire disability claim on eBenefits, and, you know, one of the girls, she went through my medical record with me and helped me, figure out how to word things properly.
Right.
They can't tell you, like, oh, put that one in. But, you know, she asked me what I wanted to claim and, like, would tell me how to word it formally or properly. And then from there, this whole last year has been, like, such a blur. Separated, got my DD-214, and then I think I just clicked send on it. I clicked submit and it went. And then they called me and made me do all the appointments.
Right.
You know, I had to go talk to a shrink. I had to go see this really weird doctor. All of that crap. And then a couple months later, they were like, hey, bitch, you're disabled. Here's some money. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'll pay my parents' bills.
So, like, that you walked off with the 80% and that was right off your first time?
Or? That was off my first time, yeah.
Because, like, here's what happened with me. And then, because they really fucked me up over, in a way. Like, I got paid some good stuff, but the thing is there's a lot of stuff I didn't claim or I didn't word right.
Yeah.
So, I filed again. And when I went and I filed, they tried to knock some of my benefits down. They tried to say I didn't have bronchitis or didn't have asthma or some shit. And I got the letter in the mail saying they're going to drop my from 30% for asthma to zero. I got that the day I got out of the hospital for asthma. You know, the day I got out of the hospital.
So I
took it down to Joel Castellanos over at the VSO on Figueroa. So if anybody's here in LA, go to the Figueroa VSO, Veteran Service Office. It's in the Bob Hope building. That's where you definitely want to go to get your shit fixed.
Hope.
Yeah, the Bob Hope building. go down there, get your shit fixed, because that's who helped me out, man, because it really bumped me up. And then they looked at that, and also, like, I didn't claim, I had a lot of alcohol issues when I was younger, and then also I had codependency on a lot of the pills they gave me after I fucking had surgery and stuff like that. But so I'm basically, you know, an addict. I just, you know, I keep it dormant because I don't fuck around with prescription pills. Mm-hmm. I refuse to take any painkillers at all.
I'll take all the ones that they give you.
Okay, cool. They're on their way. $5 a piece. I'm just kidding. What's the going rate?
I'll give you a hug for every pill.
Sure. Okay. On my, what? Never mind. Okay.
Long hugs.
Yeah.
See, this is how we do things on deployment.
Weird in here.
Guys, right. He took his pants off.
Well, I took them off a long time ago. What are you talking about? Remember my balls were
hanging
out?
I was waiting for the right moment. Well, no, like, you can have your balls out without taking your pants off.
That's true.
I don't have them to practice with, but I'm sure that's how it works.
Hey-o.
Anyways, back to Bob Hope.
Back to Bob Hope. And back to the helping people out with their benefits. And then I had this other cat who just completely denied everything I fucking claimed. Like, I got carpal tunnel, he says, not service connected. And like all this other shit. And this is where I think a lot of veterans, including myself, are wrong. Okay. This is where we fuck up. We get pissed off and frustrated and say, fuck it. Because like right now, I should be fighting for my carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I should be fighting for these other things. But I'm like to the point of I'm tired of the fucking VA. Yeah. I'm tired of them fucking me over and then, you know, not helping me out when I definitely need the help.
Yeah, but you know, as well as I do, and we get taught this in the military, nobody gives a shit about your stuff.
Right.
Other than you.
Oh, exactly.
You're the only person that can make these things happen.
Right. And here's a problem, too, that we go through. Is that you and I and people that we see all these people that fake this bullshit and then they fucking they're the sick bay commandos.
Mm-hmm.
So we get used to fucking doing our job, busting our ass, sucking it up, playing star athlete like, nah, coach, keep me in the game.
Yeah.
And then when we get done and everything's said and over with and we look back in our career, we still have that mentality like, oh, I'll be okay. You know, yep. I don't need anybody's help. I'll be okay. Don't sweat it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, if you took back what you have now, because I think what they do is they give you the bare minimum at first.
Okay.
As far as benefits go. They're like, hey, this is just what we're going to give you right now. And then you go back and get your shit reassessed and you probably get bumped up.
Yeah.
Because like I go through some serious fucking bouts of depression. That's why I write some of the shit I do on online.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not alone. You know what I mean? So I know, like, if I'm feeling this way,
maybe
and some of my best friends are, well, there's no maybe. There's so many people.
Oh, it's me. Hello, you know? It's me. Hi.
Exactly.
Nice to meet you. I cried like 4 times on the way over here.
Mm.
No,
my shoulder's still wet.
Shh, that wasn't my tears.
Oh, okay. I guess we won't talk about that. But you know what I'm saying, though? There's just, like, so much shit going on in this world that everybody's like, you know, you got, like, shit going on. And the isolation. Have you been dealing with any of that? Like, feeling, like, isolated since?
Okay. Yeah, that's actually one of the big ones. So I came home. I was 26, and I had a child, and I went and lived with my parents. And it wasn't, you know, like, I was a failure or anything, but you feel like it because you've been on your own for so long. And then, you know, I love my parents, and they're the two of the most supportive people I've ever met in my life. They are phenomenal. I am so goddamn lucky to have them in my life. But they do not understand mental illness as mental illness because my dad grew up in the 40s, my mom grew up in the 60s. They grew up in a time period where if you suffered abuse, if you suffered any type of neglect, if you suffered any type of anxiety or PTSD, you just swept it under the rug, and happiness was a choice. And we know now that happiness is a chemical. That's all it is.
Right.
And it's a chemical that our brain puts out there. And some of us can't really control those chemicals in our brain. And so I would have panic attacks over nothing. Like, oh, Jazz, did you do the dishes for us today? And I'd just be on my floor in like a ball, just sobbing uncontrollably, like, you know, snot running out of my nose. I would like black out and not be able to, like, I didn't know what happened, like full on panic attacks. And I remember this is the most vivid memory I have of this. My mom walks in and I'm on the floor and I'm like catatonic, dude. Like, I'm just like, right? And she goes, well, what's your fucking malfunction? And it took everything in me to tell her, mom, I am sick. I have things that I need to get taken care of. I have depression and I have anxiety. I feel so lost. And I really tried to choose my words because I didn't want it to be one of those moments where, you know, you're having like a fit. And right. so you just say anything. So I tried to explain her very logically and reasonably, Mom.
So you didn't want to turn into a YouTube fucking comment section.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she looks at me and she goes, well, just be positive.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with it because they think they're helping. But I had looked up at her and I was like, I'm bawling. I'm still not able to talk. And I'm like, Mom, that's not a thing. Like, I am thinking positive. I know that the things that I'm freaking out over aren't real, but I can't stop. And she was like, okay, well, maybe you should just stop being such a bitch then.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, get the fuck out. Like, you need to get the fuck out right now before you and I don't have a relationship anymore. And that 6 months that I lived with my parents actually almost fucked up our relationship again. My dad was the same way. Like, I had to have a fucking meltdown in front of all of my family members. My cousin, I remember I made a joke when we were at the lake, and my cousin's like, hey, Jazz, what's wrong with you? And I was like, dude, I'm just having an anxiety attack. And, you know, like, I have a mental illness, dude. He goes, no, you're just fucking fine. You're just trying to get attention. And I shit you not, dude. I almost fucking punched him in the nose. Like, I was so livid, and I had to fucking, like, grab him by the throat almost, right? And I'm like, you don't fucking get this, dude. Like, I may have never fucking, like, been in a combat zone, but I have dealt with some shit, and I am dealing with it now, and you don't get to fucking tell me that I'm okay. And he was like, oh damn, like, you don't have to be so dramatic. And that's what it gets chalked up to. Like, for women who come home with these mental illnesses, we're just, oh, we're hormonal, we're emotional, we're dramatic. And men, they're told, oh, well, you're just a pussy. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't care about mental illness in the veteran community or in the active duty community until it's too late. I just saw it on my own veterans community the other day for 4th of July. You know, we've got a couple combat veterans in our group, and they're like, hey, where do we get those signs? You know, and this one guy writes this whole paragraph about how, you know, you shouldn't expect your neighbors to, you know, mind their fireworks just because you're a baby, and, you know, you just need to buck up and soldier up and deal with it and just go enjoy the fireworks on your own. And I'm like, who the fuck says that? Like, but this is the same person that's like, oh, we need to take care of our brothers and sisters, you know, you know, 20 veterans.
No, people want to help so much, but not past posting something on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. But this guy,
everybody's
literally
a great volunteer up until they log out of Facebook.
This dude literally, like, sat there and berated people. There was a girl in our veterans group who asked for help with, like, childcare because she wants to go back to work and she has, like, 3 kids. She got made fun of, and basically she got called a whore. She got told that maybe she shouldn't have had so many kids if she wanted to do this, this, and this.
Little mother hubbard over here.
Yeah, and you're sitting here like, motherfuckers, like, these are our people. Like, we're not here to fucking talk shit to each other. Like, we are, but, you know, not on a serious level.
Yeah, I mean, we are, but, like, in a fun way.
In like a, hey,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're a Marine, do you eat crayons?
Yeah, right. Well, favorite. They do, but
they do.
Still.
I've dated enough of them to know.
Me too.
God. Oh, Marines.
Even the girls.
Do they?
Yeah, man.
No, I thought they'd at least be a little, like, classier.
No, they didn't move up to fucking markers.
No Sharpies or anything?
No, no Sharpies, no marker.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, no, but that whole first year was still really difficult. I've been really lucky to, I have my boyfriend, he's a recently separated veteran. He was on deployment while I was separating and dealing with it. And I'm not kidding you. Like, I had so many ups and downs. And God, if he hears this, he's going to kill me. I think he's a little bit on the spectrum.
Well, I'm sure you're going to share this on your Facebook or your Snapchat Instagram.
He doesn't really, like, do the social media thing. So I've told him about it. He knows that it's he knows that I'm doing it.
It's a dude. I'm a dude. I know exactly what's going to happen. Hey, bro, what's happening? I'm saying hi to him right now. Because no matter what, if you love somebody or if you're in a relationship with them and you're still going to be like, what's she going to say about me?
That's
you
why every I mean? Time like, I tell him I'm going to do stand-up, he's like, I'm not going to be there for it.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you do, you should do stand-up. It's fun, and it's very therapeutic if you use it right. You know what I'm saying? But
The thing is, and you're going to get Ellie, a lot of this too. There's going to be so many people that'll be like, don't talk about me. Dude, I wrote jokes.
I'm going to talk about you.
I wrote jokes, dude. I'm not going to talk about you. If you're in the show and you're in the front row, good. I'm going to talk about you. But I've got, no, I'm not.
Oh, I will.
I've got fucking shit I want to work on. Yeah. That's what I want to do. If you talk shit, I'm going to fucking burn you on fire with verbal flamage.
So Elliot and I have discussed this, like, he probably doesn't remember, but we kind of had the discussion, like, maybe he is on the spectrum a little bit. I think we're all on the spectrum a little bit, but I say
define
this,
on the spectrum.
Well, I say this because he doesn't do social cues very well. He's a very intelligent man. He's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life. But he's very intelligent about specific things. If it doesn't interest him, he's not going to learn about it. He could. He has the capability.
So he's a normal dude.
No. He's it's so interesting. I know. Like, I'm explaining it, and you're like, oh, it's every dude I've ever met. And I'm like, no. Like, he's super different. He's very awkward socially. We were talking earlier. I never worry about him cheating on me because I remember what he was like with me, and I was obviously into him. You know what I mean? Like,
right. This
guy he just doesn't want to, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about getting laid. You know, he's just a really interesting human. But he's also, like, I have all the emotions and he has none of them. And when I say he has none of them, I'm not talking in the general sense of like, oh, dudes don't do emotions, bro.
You're talking about basically he's Russian.
Kind of, yeah. I can see that, actually. But because of the way that he processes emotions and like the way that he is, I could not have asked for a better person in my life during this transition. Because when everything else was just chaotic and just messy, and I felt like all of my relationships were falling apart, because you come home and you don't have any friends. You have friends, but you have nothing in common with them. You disconnect from all your Navy friends because they're so far away and everyone has a life.
Right.
And you're literally just by yourself. I never told him about any things that were going on until after he was off deployment, because I didn't want to, like, I don't know, stress him out even more. He was on the Nimitz, of all things. He was in a squadron on the Nimitz, so he was just miserable. But he was just this constant in my life, and he was so calm and so helpful, and, like, he doesn't think that he is as much as I say he is, but he has been nothing but supportive and kind and understanding. And like, all I have to do is say, hey, this is how I feel. This is what caused me to feel this way. Can you help me by doing this? And he'll do everything in his power to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's like when you have somebody like that in your life, man, it's very, very cool.
Honestly, he's,
you know, with what I do is stand-up comedy, dude. Mm-hmm. And then like just in this pursuit of this dream I'm chasing that I'll probably never catch. But I feel like I've already made it in certain ways, you know? Like, I don't mean it as in, like, billions of dollars. I'm fucking paying rent, doing what I love. But it's the people that, really cool people in life, man. That's what's the benefit. It's like, you know, I'm working at a cool station, mm-hmm. radio station. I'm hanging here at the comedy store. We're doing a fucking podcast in the comedy store, all places, right? You know, I mean, and you think about that kind of stuff, that's fucking making it, dude. You know, and then also the biggest, most important thing, the same thing in the military is the same thing in civilian life. The most important thing is the people that we surround ourselves with. And if you're lucky enough to find that, I mean, there's a couple ladies I like to hang out with every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And they're the greatest because they know that I'm not into, I was in a long fucking relationship.
Not into
butt
stuff.
And I kind of got burnt pretty bad. You know what I mean? And, life happens, you know, so it's just like the company I can hang with certain girls. They're just the amazing people. And then also the veterans that I hang. You know, the funny thing is, too, is I met you was me and Martin Villapando and a couple other people went to
this.
It
was like you and two dudes.
Yeah,
the tall one and then the short one. Right?
Ong, yeah. Me, Martin, and Ong. And then we went to a metal show. And then I was like, and it's cool because those two are still active duty. And here I am fucking retired and shit, working at a rock station. Yeah, you know, fucking high as fuck. These guys are all sober. Huh? Anyways, just kidding.
I'm actually going to the dispensary after this.
So there you go. And no, it's really cool because, I mean, if you can find yourself people to surround yourself with, that's the most important asset there is.
I hunted down this company. It's called Military Muscle. The shirts that you see on my Instagram all the time, right?
Yeah,
the funny ones. We've got a shirt now. It says Vet Bod.
I'm actually looking for the ones without you wearing shirts, but
Oh, okay. That's most of them, actually. Like, yeah. I'm like hashtag Instagram. But like, we've got one that's like vet bod. It's like a dad bod, but with ibuprofen. And you're like, fuck yeah, that's me. Yeah. But it was cool. I hunted these guys down at the LA Fit Expo last year because we really loved what they were about. Rob, the owner, he started this out of his garage. He's completely veteran owned, completely veteran operated. And in his whole entire goal throughout this company, not only is to build a community, but his big goal was to be able to get so steady financially with the company that he could donate clothing and t-shirts to deployed active duty members and homeless veterans. And then use some of that money to help our community.
I'm a comedian. I'm borderline homeless.
We know. So. We know, honey.
Let's hook it up. I definitely would love to have the guy on the shirt. Or on the shirt. I love on to have the show. Guy,
He's
the
in
guy
Phoenix.
On the show.
He's out in Phoenix.
In Phoenix?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But, you know, getting, I like walked right up there. The guy that was working the booth, I was like, hi, my name is Jasmine. I'd like to be involved with your company. And he's like, oh, it's not my company. And I was like, cool, but I want to be involved in it. And it was this poor guy. He was like, oh yeah, sure. We've got an ambassador program. I was like, cool, tell me everything about it. I already know everything because I already studied everything, but I want you to tell me what you think of the company. And he was like, oh, fuck, what do I do? So I got in contact with Eric Hilton, who is, he just retired. I believe he was Air Force. We'll forgive him for that.
MWR.
Right. He's a handsome lad. He's got a great family. But I contacted him and I was like, hey, I talked to so-and-so at the LA Fit Expo. He said to talk to you. What's up, man? And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, let's get some paperwork started, bro. And it's been really great for me because before I got involved with that company, you know, Elliot was deployed and he didn't really have an outlet. That was... killed myself like 3 times, man. I didn't have anybody. I drive over this overpass every day getting to my parents' house, and there was just so many times where I was like, well, I could just drive off it right now.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Yeah. And it sucks because, like, you know, there's been so many times where I'll say things just seriously as fuck, but it sounds so joking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like...
because you have to, dude. Like,
yeah, you know, but the thing is just like, you know... The thing is, you know that how many people will be fucking shattered if you dig.
Oh golf. Yeah.
And you got an adorable little boy.
Isn't he the cutest? Yeah, dude. Oh, that's like, he's really the only reason I haven't.
Yeah, you keep posting all these pictures, and I'm like, oh,
my
dude.
Little Cobain baby. Yeah.
I would not use Cobain and your kid and suicide all in the same paragraph.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They all do kind of go together, though. Like, no, but the program or the company has been phenomenal because it was really cool because it opened it up the floor that, you know, there are people that care. You know, there's strangers in our community that care about you. You know,
and unfortunately, right here is where the memory card cut off. And I say that unfortunately because the most important things we conversed about happened after the fucking memory card cut. And it was actually really good. That stuff will help out, I think, any female or male. But it was good to have Jasmine on the show. And I'm looking forward to having her back. All right, for all those I've followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Hope everybody's doing good. Cue some music.